Blog Talk Radio.
Flash it. New thing. This is the song. Got two lyrics. Very simple and plain. We can all sing together. Nobody has to feel left out. Join in. This is a song that people need to be singing right about now. When they're telling you that you can't, you shouldn't, you won't. Tell them this, tell them this, tell them this.
No way. No matter.
That are affected by this tornado yesterday. It affected me personally because, I was doing countdowns of my friends, and one specific friend wasn't showing up. I didn't know specifically where she is, but from what I understand, she's safe, and for me, that's all that counts. So, I still stand firm on what I believe as far as donating money to the Red Cross. I'm not a big fan of that, but I say this. If you can help out in any type of way, whether it's donating clothes, whether it's donating water, if you know somebody who's down there, who knows somebody, help out as much as you can. I personally will go down there as soon as they start help cleaning up and all that stuff. I don't want to go down there and volunteer, and there's certain things that I can't do. But I will do whatever I can, and I'm also part of a group out of Oklahoma City that I've been part of for years now, since most of about 2006. Those group of people are people that I'm referring to. Heidi and Jay run the group. And so I just want to give a special prayer to them and the people in Oklahoma City, whether I know them or don't know them. Just send out a special prayer to them. And I'm going to say it on the air. So I'll begin. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we just thank you right now in the name of Jesus, that you have your way, O God, that you make a way out of no way for those people who maybe are struggling right now, O God, to deal with the massive damage that was caused. We ask you that you protect those people, give them the strength, the love, the encouragement to continue on. For those people who may be trapped, or still lost, or still seeking loved ones, let us be patient, let us have forbearing, self-control and love and peace in our hearts, knowing that you, Heavenly Father, have your way and are able to do all things. I say all things that is heavenly possible. And I thank you for being who you are, and we love you, and we lift your name up right now in the heavens of the Holy of the Holy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Like I said, I just simply want to say my heart goes out to my neighbors up north. Tragic situation. Just tragic. I mean, I can't even speak about it right now. So without further ado, we're going to get the show started. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, it's one of the reasons why I wasn't on yesterday was because of that. It's very tough for me. Had a really rough day today. Wasn't feeling well. And I apologize for not doing it. But, of course, I've already put out what I do. And If you didn't know why I wasn't on, I'm giving you the reasons why I wasn't on. And hope we continue to be strong for our families. That's why I said that, we can't go around having alt and continue to be upset with one another all day, every day, because you never know what's going to happen. You know what I'm saying? Never know. Never know what's going to happen. So, like I said, without further ado, we'll go ahead and get this started, because it is about making change, making difference in our lives. And you know how I get down. So we're going to get sound our forearms. Cracking happening. Right? All right. So, I'm not going to go off on all that other stuff. Putting all my information out, I do that other time. And tonight is going to be a very interesting night. Tonight, we will be talking about the book, the movie, The Book of Eli. Now, I always strike it odd, is this me, how these movies, they come out with these movies, and they try to take it and get you to understand what life's about, or who, what's where, and who, and all this stuff. Okay, well, let me explain this, okay, to you. First of all, we're going to have to break this movie thing down, because it's important that we understand why the Book of Eli is the Book of Eli, and where did they get the concept of the Book of Eli, and does it really mean anything? Okay, I mean, there's not like a whole bunch of, really, there's not a whole bunch of stuff riddled through the movie, so it's really plain to my eyes and those who understand this kind of stuff, the cynical magic that they're playing to on us. Okay, so let me first explain to who Eli is. Okay, so Eli, the word Eli in the Bible, it means God Most High or God of the High. Okay, it's according into the book of Samuel. Samuel was a high priest. Okay, and so, Hannah is the wife of Elkanah. Elkanah also had another wife, Peninnah, who gave birth to a child. Peninnah, every chance she teased and criticized Hannah about the bearing points of Hannah's deep displeasure. Her husband sees her distress and tried to cover her deep despair and that in which each question. Hannah, why do you weep? Why do you not eat? Why in your heart saith, am I not more to you than 10 sons? The story indicates that Hannah goes on to answer the questions and raises and presents herself to Yeshua, which is God, weeping bitterly in the temple. When she is found in the temple by the priest, she is praying silently, and her lips are moving. And the priest witnessed this odd posture and considered she is drunk. In her despair, she prays to Yahweh for a child, and if her prayers is granted, she would give back to Yahweh. After Hannah's explanation of her sobriety, Eli blessed her with peace and a guarantee that Yahweh of Israel will grant her request. She went home, ate and drank with her husband, and filled with hope. Subsequently, Hannah became pregnant. Her child was named Samuel. The time had came to offer the yearly sacrifice at the temple, and Hannah stayed home. She promised to go with him to the temple with Samuel, his weaned, and planned to leave him with Eli to train as a Nazarene. The book of Samuel records Hannah's beautiful prayer to Yahweh. She rejoiced and exalted the Holy One. There is no father like Yahweh. Therefore, the nation shall rejoice also in the Holy One. The story of Hannah intervenes itself when the culture of the nature of the nation of the Israelites. Eli is the high priest of Shiloh, the last Israelite judge before the rules of the kings. Therefore, the Shiloh tradition will also become an old and lost tradition that would have the prophet Jeremiah come on the scene in the history of Yahweh's people. He will seek a renewance to bring back the ways of Shalom tradition to the people of Israel, because the kings have become wicked and defiled the temple and the tradition of Yahweh. Okay, so now that we start to get an understanding about what's going on, right? You see, the Philistines attacked on the day of Eli's death. Some years later, when Samuel had became an adult, the Philistines attacked Ibn Esthin, eventually capturing the Ark of the Covenant from the Israelites and killing Israel's sons, Eli's sons, who companions of the Ark to battle as priests. The Israelites had brought the Ark with them from battle unto the promise that they would have no possible way that Yahweh would allow it to enter into the enemy's hands, and the assumption that prevented it was incorrect. Eli, who was nearly blind, was unaware of the event until he asked about all the commotion. Eli was told that he happened from a soldier who had fled from the battle. He was sitting in a chair, and the soldier told him what had happened. In the reaction of the news, the Ark of God has been captured. Eli fell backwards out of his chair he was sitting in and died. He broke his neck. He was a judge of Israel for a total 40 years and died at 98 years old. Now, you get the exact movage. You see what I'm saying? You get the same exact movage as in the movie. Okay, because, you know, now that you know Samuel in the Bible was blind and he was a judge. So you have to take that into account. Listen to us very closely. You have to take that into account of who Eli was in the movie. Okay, because we know in the movie, towards the end, we find out that Eli was blind. Okay, so now that we chasing this down, very, very interesting. All right, So I have to talk about the Senegal magic thing, okay? Because it's important to understand the heritage of these movie personnel people, okay? It is not a coincidence, ladies and gentlemen, that things like this actually transmits. And when I say transmits, it is the vibration that the movie is putting out. It's putting out vibrations of positive and negative spins. Now, I don't know if you understand these things, but it is a very interesting concept when we talk about or the spiritual plane. On the spiritual plane and then on the physical plane. All right? It is important that you understand that the concepts that comes through the screens and the vibrations that comes to your body when you are in a theater or you're watching the thing, okay, it is putting out all kinds of weird signals. And it's not just you that's feeling a little weird, okay? It is the cynical magic that these wizards and these sorcerers are putting. Now, let me go to the let's see, add one more. Okay, so I want to let you know, and I'm just going to throw this out there. I'm just going to throw it out there because now I'm not listen to what I'm saying closely, ladies and gentlemen. Listen to what I'm saying very closely. And I don't want everybody to get all twisted, okay? I don't want everybody to get all twisted on me. Listen to me closely. Okay? Because, you know, people are a little funny, okay? People are a little funny when you start mentioning certain things, okay? And so when you start mentioning these things, people want to say certain things about what you said, and you got to have accountability and blah, 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 this and blah, 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 that. Okay. Simple. Hey, look, I'm ready to be accountable for my words. I am ready to be accountable for who I am. Because the truth is the truth, right? Okay. My theory is wrong, but that's okay. That's, you know, that's why you gotta do a little research, okay? The screenwriter for this movie also has written for Mucky Project and also does the screenplay or the movie screen for War of Warcraft and also the Diablo. And it's important that we look at how these people, how can a gamer designer and also a video game journalist write such a powerful movie like this, right? Well, just depends on who he's connected to. All right, so now we're going to go ahead and we're going to look at the characters, okay? We've got Eli, we have Carnegie, Sela, Redridge, Claudia. Let's see. I think that's where I'm gonna go. Yeah, that's the ones I'm gonna go to. Now, first of all, we know who Eli is, and then the word carnage comes from the word Carnegie. Then you have Sola, which comes from the word solar. And so, as you start to build the characters and you start to look at the characters, now, Eli himself, played by Denzel Washington, plays a great character in the movie. I don't see anything wrong with the movie. The movie is what it is, okay? It's not a very bad writing of the movie, but you have to look at how they put things together and how they get that cynical magic in you. What do they want from you? What are they trying to appeal to you in these certain things? Okay? And when you start thinking about, when you start looking at it, Denzel Washington comes in, he goes and kills the cat and all that stuff, and then he walks through the town, cuts these people up, and then he goes into the town and gets his battery charged, okay? So when he walks into the tavern, as he's walking in the tavern, if you look at the far right above, they have the Mason symbols up there, okay? So they're walking through. And that is the main tavern that's there, okay? And when it comes to those type of things in the movie, if you don't catch it right away, it's on the balcony and you see it. Now, what does that have to do with anything? Okay, it doesn't have really nothing to do with anything. And let's just say it doesn't have anything to do with anything. Okay? It just so happens to be there. Okay. So, as they go, he does everything that he does, and comes to find out he has a book, and the book happens to be the Holy Bible. Okay, so now we know the whole plot right now is about this book, because the guys come in, they throw the stuff in front of Carnegie, they say, you know, this is not it. No, it's not it. Okay, so they're looking for something specific. Okay, and in this something specific, it is such a strong premise in the movie, because it becomes a character in the movie. Now, you're saying, well, how's a book going to become? Because that book is given birth by the utterance of what it symbolizes. Okay? It gives birth to the book. Now, the book has been born into the movie, and the book has meaning. We know it's the Bible. Okay, we know it's the Bible, but at this time, these people can't even read. They don't know. Now, as we go deeper into it, Carnegie finds out that not only does he have a book, but he's also a man of faith. Now, we have two gentlemen at this point in time who believes in whatever. First of all, these two men are about the same age or about around the same age. And within that same age, they say those people are very rare. Okay? The reason why they're very rare is because, you know, most of the old people have died. Why have they died, ladies and gentlemen? They have been deaded. I should say it like that. But they died from what they call wormwood. Okay? Wormwood in Greek stands for star or angel. Okay? And it happens in apocalypse days in the book of Revelations. Wormwood appears several times in the Old Testament. The translation of the Hebrew term It only clear reference as a name entity occurring in the New Testament, in the book of Revelation. The third angel blew his trumpet, and a great star fell from heaven, blazing like a torch, and fell on a third of the rivers and on the spring waters, and the name of the star is Wormwood. A third of water became wormwood, and many died from the water because the water was bitter. Considering the context, has been held that this great star represents one or several important figures of political or history and other the Bible's dictionary or commentary versus the terms of relating that is being talked about. The star called Wormwood seems to denote a mighty prince or power of the air, the instrument it has fallen. Now, however you interpret it, this part of the Bible, that is technically up to you. But from what I interpret it to be is this great comet or asteroid that fell on the planet, which represents how the movie represents. If you look at the topography of the movie, you will see craters in the ground all around. And within these craters that are all around, they look massive. They look like, I mean, they just look huge. And those are also signs that are given birth by what Denzel describes of the Great Fallout. Now, we start talking about these, the wormwood. It not only destroyed the water, but it paralyzed the world. In the movie, it literally paralyzed the world. Because, you see, when the world happened, all the water was taken up, apparently, especially in the movie. And when he's given that description of what happened, how it was torched and everything, because remember when he was talking to Martha, or was it Martha? Excuse me, I think it was Claudia. When he was talking to Claudia, he asked Claudia, "Did you lose it during the flash, or were you born that way?" And she said that she was born that way. So now that we understand that bang not only crippled people, because you see it in the movie where there's people with scars and burns and all that stuff, some type of radioactive Holocaust fallout, not Holocaust, but Chernobyl fallout type of thing, where radiation, because you remember at the beginning of the movie, he's walking in the forest, and in the forest, he's got this mask on and everything like that. So we understand that the portions of that was part of Wormwood, and that's undeniably what it was, and it gives you that sense of, wow, that really happened? Now, the interesting thing is that when he found out, when Eli found out that she was blind, he not only, and I keep saying the weird thing, because it's kind of funny in a way, because he was blind. So the only way he knew that she was moving is when he moved his dog tags and she moved, because she didn't know where he was. And so as another blind person trying to talk to another blind person, he understood that. right? So check this out. A little thing about cynical magic. Okay. So when cynical is ready, it will activate by implanting into the psyche. This is the most difficult part in the process. Spare offers only one view hint on the practical technique. However, it is crucial that the cynical is internalized in a trance of sorts. This may take place in a state of euphoria, for example, by the means of drugs, in ecstasy, for example, sex magically by masturbation, sexual intercourse or a ritual, or in the state of physical fatigue. For the latter example, eyes and arms are more tired by the magical by the magician's folding his or her arms across the head while standing in front of the mirror and staring fixated on his or her object. The important thing is that it should click, meaning that the sigil must be internalized, spandexterously, which one of the courses require such exercise and control. This procedure may be supported by repeating the sentence of the desire rhythmic and monotonally in a mantra, being faster and faster in doing so. One must stare fixated on the sigil. In our example of looking into the mirror, a magical mirror may be used too. It is usually to draw the sigil onto the mirror with water soluble paint. After spermatic initialization, the symbol must be destroyed and deleted from the conscious mind. As mentioned before, from now on into being the conscious, which has been to do in the work. In my own practical work, I have discovered that in even meaning be useful to keep the sigil on you, such as wearing a ring engraved with it, etc. But this will depend upon the magician's individual pendulum, and everyone should find his or her own way, especially if it may provide necessary to repeat the whole procedure, especially in the goal in is very pragmatic one requiring an understanding amount of energy. Nevertheless, experience shows that it is the primary interest not to bring back the meaning and aim to the sigil into conscious at any time. We are, after all, dealing with a technique akin to Otto's suggestion. Thus, the rules are the same as which Otto's suggestion themselves. Therefore, you may not use negative formulas such as this, my wish not to, because very often the unconscious tends neither to recognize nor understand this not, and you must end up getting the opposite results than what you originally desired to. Okay, so what I was reading you was, it's called Practical Sigil Magic by Austin Osman Spares and the Theories of Sigils. So, like I was saying about the tools that they use. Now, because they have given birth to the idea that the book, okay, the book itself has power. We had no idea what the book was until he pulls out the book and has a cross on it, right? So now that it has been birthed into our image, that cross is repeatedly put in our face, right? Continuously put in our face. And so now the that's where the magic happens now. Because now they have got us in a they've got us in a spell according to this sigil magic thing, right? And so as it goes, it pops, they start bringing up the Bible, then then you start thinking about the Bible, right? You start popping up, and then sometimes, I don't know about y'all, but when every time they show the Bible, then a scripture will pop up, and it'll sort of put you in a trance, because now you are deep into the movie, okay? And so now they have created a mindless space and time to us. And I know y'all thinking I'm crazy, but let me reassure you, ladies and gentlemen, they are doing anything and everything that they possibly can in order to get our minds to be not only entranced, but also, they use different techniques. Now, remember when I said that they use sexual techniques. They use let me go back. This was here. I'll have to go back and find it where it was, but anyway, they use these techniques in order to put us in a certain trance. And once they do it, and of course the ones about sex popped off, you know what I mean? For example, popped off in my head because. Here it goes. It is critical that the sigil is S-I-G-I-L is internalized in the transistor. This may take place in a state of euphoria, meaning that with drugs, or in ecstasy, using sexual magic, or in the state of physical fatigue. Now, These concepts are these tools that they use in this magical spell world that they have. Okay, let's look at how they in this specific scene they use sexual means twice. Okay, so when at the beginning of the movie, towards the beginning of the movie, where the bikers are going and Eli is walking on the bridge and he stops and he's like, "It's not stay on the path. It's not my business. Stay on the path," or whatever. And then they go and they show that they go and get that woman. They rape her, took her books, and then they shoot her and kill her. Then in the deeper part of the scene, they use the sexual indignation that. The woman's being raped. They're pulling her clothes is tearing, and so the perception of of rapists being, they don't ever show any skin, but when you hear the ripping of clothing, you naturally assume, see, that way they have already trained your ear or put you in a trance to understand that, hey, listen, if you hear ripping clothes, that means that someone is getting their clothes taken off by force. So they never show any skin. They only show clothes. Here you hear clothes and cloth being ripped. So that's the part of that hypersexual control they have in our minds. Okay, because they use sex a lot for these entities. In these movies, okay? And so, how can we control something that we do not even yet understand? First of all, It is very difficult to break in. It's very difficult to break in something that you don't necessarily believe in, nor do you understand. Okay, because this is a calculated attempt by the devil in order to manipulate you through ways that you do not understand, nor will you understand. And so, you see, when I talk to you about when I talk to you about the realms of the occult, see, let me go back to the intro, because it's very important that you understand these things, ladies and gentlemen. All right, because, listen, the more you understand the concepts of movies and why they put these movies out and how they manipulate our minds to get us to think a certain way about certain things, then we become, in a way, a zombie to the concept. And so we already know the plot before the plot even happens, right? Because we've watched so many movies in our lifetime that it just naturally clicks. So when we go into the movies, we are naturally hypnotized and controlled by our minds, because we know the procedures of the movies, because it does it all the time, Now, the thing that's very interesting is if you are in a military base and you're going to go watch the movies, you have to stand for the Pledge of Allegiance, for the National Anthem, which is also very interesting. Anyway, so, this gentleman, I call him a gentleman, but he's probably a demon. I wouldn't say probably. He was a demon, okay, and his soul was riddled. His name is Austin Osam Spare. Born 1886, died 1956. Was a typical child of this era and after Aleister Crowley. He was definitely one of the most interesting occultists and practicing magic of English-speaking world. Nowadays, he is basically known only in this cultural context. Internationally, he was received one on attention in literature circles at best, ironically, in footnote. This footnote is found in Mario Prez's pioneering, but unfortunately rather superficial work, La Carnage, La Morte e di Valo Nella Lettera Romantica, the romantic irony of Florence, 1930, where he was the term was together with Aleister Crowley, a Satanist occultist, and that this all. Nevertheless, this important work has at least led many of the occultic researchers familiar to the literature to spare. Compared to Aleister Crowley, excuse me, and intermagic and infamous life, Austin Osman's spare existence certainly seems to benefit only a footnote. Despite his various publications after the turn of the century, he remained practically unknown until the late 60s. He was born 1886, the son of a London police officer, and we know him very little of his childhood. He claimed to have experienced while a child as intrinsic sorts of an elderly witch, one Miss Patterson, who, far as we know, must have been quite a Wiccan-like character. Spare found his intellect and his creative velocity as a artist and an illusioner. And he attended the Royal College of Arts, where he soon was celebrated as the foretelling young artist. But the rebelling against the bourgeois middle-class career in the arts discussed by consumerists, he retreated from the artistic scene afterwards. He has continued editing various magazines for quite a while. From 1927 until his death, he valued his life as a weird hermit in London slums, where he sometimes had exhibit in a local pub. People have compared his life to H.P. Lovecraft, and certainly his to an exploring of the dark levels of the soul around the beginning of the First World War. He released some privately published editions, and today one of the occurring, at least in the Great Britain, numerous, usually high, expensive reprints of his work. However, we are primarily interested in two volumes, namely his well-known book of pleasures, self-love, and psychological of ecstasy, which is in London, 1913. Keith Grant excellently researched book in which one, the leader of his known branch of the OTO, the Arter Templi Ardentis, and as one of the experts on Crowley, dealt with the practical assumption of Spare's systems as well. Spare's actually psychologically, philosophically, will not be analyzed in depth here because this is very necessary to the practice of physical theory, and it would be led away from the subject of this. Before we begin with Spare's theories of physical, it is perhaps useful to write a few words about the part physicals play in magical working. Occurrence magic is known to the rest of the two main pillars, namely as the will and of imagination. Connection with these are analytically thinking and symbolic images. For example, the Agespia used a specific sigil for each of the planetary intellects. These are not, as have been assumed for the quite soon time, attributely connected or constituted, nor were they received by the revelation, but rather they have based a Kabbalah consideration. Import whether the sigil is the correct one or not, but it is the crucial that it must be created by a magician and is therefore bless me, meaningful to him or her because he has constructed it from a personal use. The sigil easily becomes a catastrophic of his or her magical desire and sometimes the will even waking their desires in the first place. This practical approach, which dominates present-day Anglo-Saxon magic, let me give a whole bunch of authors, but I'm not going to read them, goes to show that Austin Olsen Spare, rather than Aleister Crowley, should be considered the real father of modern pragmatic magic. So they go on to talk about this other stuff, but if you get a chance, you can Google this. I got it off of Google myself. Just take a chance to look at just take a look at it, okay? Because there's two movies coming out right now about magicians and the illusions that are coming out. So I ask you to please take a look at this before you go to these movies, because people, you just don't understand the connection that is being played not only in movies but also in the idea that Satan can control you through movies. Not only through movies, but it can also control you through the music in the movies. That's why when somebody dies, they start playing this mentally low vibrant music and stuff, and they're trying to build that emotion. They're trying to get you to emotionally vomit whatever that is that's bubbling up inside of you to connect with that character. We know the character's not real, but why do we psychologically come up with the idea that it is real? Let me just been popping at me. It says that pragmatic magic will become more and more important because today's magicians have to face a psychologicalized and psychologically environment whose philosophic representation has been shaping all of us and still does, regardless of the significance of the amount of truth one concedes to psychological or psychological analysis. We are all interfiltrated by its ways of thinking and in its vocabulary. So even we magicians will have to obtain to a critical, sensible look at it. It will be left to another era to find different models to explanation, describing, and practice. How despair perceives this practice? Synagogues are developed by fusing and stylizing of words. First of all, a sentence of desire has to be formulated. Let us take a simple spare himself gives in his book of pleasure and desire of tense. This my wish to obtain the strength of a tiger. This sentence must be written down in capitals. Next, all the letters which appear more than once are deleted, so only one of each letter remains. Lord Jesus. Thus, the following letters remain: THISMYWOBANERGF. The syllable is created from these letters in the permissible to consider one part. For example, the M as a reverse is W, or seen with the side, it is an E. Hence, these three letters do not have to appear in the sigil three separate times. Of course, these are numerous possibilities of representation and stylization. Okay, so I'm not going to get into all of that because it gets too difficult from what we are going to talk about. But like I said, it's a set program that's in our head already. And they have used this on us since radio's come out, since movies has come out and all this stuff. Now, back to the movie at hand. The other part that we must know is that because the Carnage is a man of faith, he says a couple things in the movie. He says that a couple guys like us could show our faith and lead these people out of darkness. Now, remember that Eli, the prophet, the judge, Eli the judge, was taught by Elijah. Now, Elijah was a bad mofo. Listen, let me make sure that I get y'all bored. Let me read you this, Batman. Because give me a second. I will be back. I'll leave you with this.
They had three major policies that were going to be followed. First, Lucifer says, we have to make sure that people, humans, get to believe that Satan and his angels do not really exist.
You know, Roger, that's interesting because a recent research study report that I read indicated that in a national survey, I believe it's over 75% of people mm-hmm. do not really believe in a real tangible devil. Mm-hmm. But there is one.
Oh, yeah. Oh, the next thing, the three-part policy that they had adopted there, the second one was to find a way of being able to get total control of people's minds. And that would be done by taking hypnotism out of the realm of the occult and introduce it as a new science for the benefit of mankind. They felt that by taking hypnotism out of the realm of the occult and introducing it as a new science for the benefit of mankind, they could then use people of great renown, educators, people of capacity, that would do great things, such as supposedly regress people in time to former lives. And, of course, after the session is over, the person would not know a thing about ancient history. And the person she or he has talked about performing, you know, certain deeds, let's say, 3,000-4,000 years ago. But this was their strategy. Now, what this would do for the thing is this. That it would create in the minds of the general public, solidly set in the mind of the general public, an unwavering trust in that great deception. So now this would be a way of de-Christianizing the Western world through the avenue of mysticism.
The three things were, number one, that they did not want Satan did not want the human family to think that he or his angels existed.
Right.
The second point that you made had to do with taking control of people's minds.
That's right.
The third point was what?
Was to destroy the Bible without burning it.
Okay.
See.
And what was his strategy on that?
On that, it was very interesting. Because after the Great General Council, it was decided that Satan would tutor Charles Darwin personally in setting up the the principles of his theories of evolution. He was tutored by Lucifer himself, Father Lucifer. And at that time, it was understood, Satan and his spirit counselors understood, that if a person was led to believe in the theory of evolution, it would, in his life, destroy completely the creation week of the Bible, the fall of man, and final redemption. It would do away with it. Anyone that teaches a theory of evolution is considered to be a minister of the great religious system. And he said that every teacher of that theory is recognized by the spirit as a person of great value and receives a very special unction from Satan himself, giving great power to induce spiritual blindness, to convince and convert. Three capacities.
Could let that play on more, but I'll stop here. The reason why I played Mr. Roger morning is because it is the other portion of this conversation it's going to get so deep, y'all. It's going to get so deep. So, the reason why Carnegie wanted the Bible so bad was because he knew that the Bible itself would give joy. Just the fruits of the Spirit, y'all. Just the fruits of the Spirit. Okay? Just the fruits of the Spirit. That's all I'm going to say. Okay? So he knew that would give them hope, give people hope. He didn't want the people to have hope. He didn't want the people to have freedom. He constantly says that is an illusion. You hear this in all movies, that hope, freedom, joy, happiness, and all that stuff is false. You saw, if you watch the first Avengers, Loki says freedom is an illusion, okay? And let me think. To that point, freedom is an illusion, ladies and gentlemen, because it is a construct of a psyche of idea that you are free. And when somebody's threatening your freedom, it gives you a self-propelled of, I have rights. Well, where do we get these rights? Now, in Eli's time, once again, you have to understand where he tells her, one day I was sitting down there and a voice came to me and he said for me to travel west and give him this book. He said that he will be protected until the mission is over with, right? Now, I truly don't understand why they used Eli, per se, and I'm not gonna get the reason why they used Eli in specific, but I think it gave the audience something to think about because he was blind. When they go back and relook at the movie, the reason why he was so masterful in his abilities was because Eli was a judge. He was a judge that was going to fulfill the prophecy once he got there. Okay? So there's a lot of stuff in the meats and potatoes that we have to break down here. One of the most specific things, ladies and gentlemen, I have to tell you this. It is very important. This is a public announcement. I mean, we all fall short of the glory of God. I'm one included. We all fall short of the glory of God. But ladies and gentlemen, I'll tell you this. Let's take, for example, the Book of Eli really happens. Let's just say, for example, that it really happens. So we go to the age of no technology. So if you think that you're going to have your cell phone to be able to look up scriptures with, you're wrongly mistaken, okay? If you think that you're going to be able to have a Bible, you're strongly mistaken. Ladies and gentlemen, I do not know how many times I have to give out this disclaimer to you. When the end of time comes and the Antichrist takes his thrones, Christians will be crucified once more. Let me reiterate this, ladies and gentlemen. It is important for us to dust off our Bibles, okay? It's time for us to dust off our Bibles and start using it. If you don't think that these people, if you don't think that these people will come into your house, take you outside and ask you how many Bibles you have, and go through everything, then you are sadly mistaken, because the concept of freedom is still fresh in our heads, right? Because we have a government. And once again, I keep saying this. I'm giving the disclaimer now. What day it is? Somebody help me. Can I get time? Today is May 21st, 2013 at 11:11. All right? 2013, 11:11, May 21st. I'm not saying the end of time is going to come tomorrow. I'm not going to say it's going to come next year. All I know is this, ladies and gentlemen. The Bible says he's going to come in like a thief in the night. Now, there are certain things that have to happen before Jesus comes back. A lot of stuff got to happen, ladies and gentlemen. So all I'm saying is the signs. Listen, let me go on to the Bible, because I need to show y'all something. I have to show y'all something, and some of the scholars might think I'm wrong, but this is what I get from my readings. Okay, and very important that we look at these things. Very important. Very important we look at these things. Whew. Jesus. What I'm about to read you right now, and it is very important that we understand these things. And I've talked about this a long time ago. Okay. So, right now I'm reading from Revelation 6. Let's go from Revelation 6, 8 on down. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat unto him was Death. And hell followed him. The power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth, to kill with sword and with hunger, with death of beasts on the earth. Y'all, that's already happened. Okay? The four seals already happened. Whether you believe that or not. Okay? And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain from the word of God and for the testimony which they had held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy to the truth, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwelt on the earth? And a white robes were given unto every one of them, and was said unto them, They that shall rest ye for a little season, until these fellow servants also, and the children and their brethren that shall be killed as they were, shall be fulfilled. And behold, when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, the sun became black as a salt cloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. A star of heaven filled unto the earth, even as a fig tree caseth her untimely figs, where she is shaken of the mighty winds. Okay. So, right now, this is, I mean, you read it with me. Where are we at? We already had the years of famine and all this stuff, and then the people who are dead are asking, but we have not felt the great. Listen, when we get to number six, the real nitty gritty is coming down. Cause we ain't got there yet. We're at seal five. We are at seal five, ladies and gentlemen. Get it together. And behold, great earthquake, and the sun became black, and the moon became to bleed. We ain't got that yet. And then the stars of heaven fell into the earth as a fig tree casing her untimely fig, when she is shooken of the mighty wind. We ain't had those yet, y'all. We hadn't had those yet. So let me tell you, when those start happening, when we get to seal six, y'all, you're going to know it. When we get to seal six, we gonna know it. I'm going to read some more revelation for y'all. Because this ties into the movie now. It ties into the movie. Okay, so in Revelation 12 and 13, it kind of goes back to Eli. Remember at the end of the movie when Eli was laying in white, and shaved his head off and all that stuff. This says, 12 says, saying, Amen, blessed and glory and the wisdom and the thanksgiving and honor and power and the mighty unto our God forever and ever. Amen. 13, and one of our elders answering, saying unto them, to me, which are these whom I array in white robe? And whence cometh they? Now remember, Eli was in the book. Eli was a judge. Remember that, okay? And this I'm going to do a sidebar for a minute, okay? But just going to do a little sidebar, because I shouldn't say that these things bother me, but it's important that we understand the Bible, y'all. I mean, important that we understand it. Oh. People's be killing me with this right here. They just be killing me. I don't know how Jesus can make it any plainer. I really don't. But apparently people get all caught up and have no idea what's going on. None. Not a clue. And it baffles me too, y'all. So it really just baffles me. How can people really think this? Like what Bible are you reading from? 'Cause these words you saying to me don't really make not a sense. Not a sense. No sense, none. Because I know sometimes people like to interpret certain things certain ways and things like that in that nature. But let's really think about what the scripture says. And just trying to get to it. Man, I tell you, now we all know that John specifically, when John was writing these revelations for Jesus on Patmos, that we know that the churches that they're talking about are the churches in Turkey. So, what does that necessarily mean? For those churches that exist up there, and you know, now that we got internet, you can do your own research and stuff like that, and it's kind of I wouldn't say weird, but why those churches in Turkey, and what is the significance of those churches? Because I mean, in our modern day society, that part of the world is really, is really, 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 really not really important. You know what I'm saying? I mean, think about that. I mean, we're allies with Turkey. So when it comes to when it comes to just the whole idea that Jesus are dealing with these churches in Turkey and dealing with these angels in Turkey, it kind of for me it leaves a little question mark. Maybe I just need to do some more in depth research on that area. And I looked at it, and I'm telling you, I haven't looked at it deeply, but I have looked at it, and God has not revealed that to me of, why those churches are so significant. And so, bear with me, y'all. Please bear with me real quick. I am looking for something specific. And the reason why I'm looking up something specific is because I don't want to get my terms all wrong. So, excuse me. Just bear with me for a second. Bear with me, y'all. Please bear with me. I am trying to find it specifically. Pass it up. And so when I finally get there, y'all, kind of be with me. You say I'm saying, please be with me. Okay, so we're gonna be on 7, and these are the ones that I want to talk about. 7-4. And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were seals of 140, 40, and 400 of all tribes of Israel, all tribes of the children of Israel. Y'all, first of all, Jesus made it very plain, okay? Jesus made it very plain. He said, all tribes of the children of Israel. He don't say nothing about Gentiles and all that. They ain't say nothing about no other people but the children of Israel. And of this tribe of Judah, 12,000. Reuben, 12,000. Gad, 12,000. Nephilim, 12,000. Manasseh, 12,000. Simeon, 12,000. Levite, 12,000. Israel, 12,000. Jabarion, 12,000. Joseph, 12,000. Tribe of Benjamin, 12,000. After this I behold, and lo, a great multitude, where no man could number, of the nations and kindred and people and tongues, stood before the throne, before the Lord, before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our Lord God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. Okay? So, ladies and gentlemen, unless you are part of these tribes of Israel, the 12 tribes of Israel, unless you are part of them, these are the only people that's going to get seals. But doesn't mean that we ain't going to get into heaven, because they said it. And after this, behold, lo, a great multitude which no man could number. So there's a lot of us that's going to get into heaven, but these are peoples who got the seal. They just said we're going to have seals, y'all. They just said a great multitude of people are going to be white robes. So, listen, unless you're Jewish and you understand all this stuff, or you may not be Jewish, you may not understand it because you don't believe Jesus. Some of you Jews don't believe it, but, whatever. Okay, so now that I got that off my chest, because that was just, that's the kind of thing that Alright, I just wanted to bring that up. Now, as we come to start to get towards the closing, yeah? It's time to come to get the clowns link, huh? Alright? We're going to start talking about this burning of the book, because Eli was told that when he was on the mission, everybody burnt the books. Books was burnt up. Remember we were talking about that a few minutes ago? We were saying that you need to get your Bibles in order. Listen, y'all need to go buy as many Bibles as you can. Many Bibles as you can. And you know that tradition that some of y'all partake in, the pagan tradition with the Easter Bunny? Now, I'm not judging you. I just don't do the Easter thing. I'm just saying this. We need to bury as many Bibles as possible. I know y'all think I'm crazy. I know you do. But let me tell you the importance of this. Think of a world where you cannot worship Jesus freely. Think about even mentioning his name, your tongue will be cut off. You will be lynched in the name of Jesus. You will be crucified upside down in the name of Jesus. See, when it comes, you can say I'm Buddhist. They ain't gonna mess with you. They ain't gonna mess with you, y'all. Oh, I'm Buddhist. Or you can say I'm Hindu. Oh, I'm Hindu. You're good. You got the mark. And that is another part of the book, of the movie, that people fail to realize. They said, let me see your hands. Now, when they say, they tell you, let me see your hands, they're just checking to see if you're shaking. Why are they checking to see that you're shaking? Because you become a, they said that because they were cannibalists and they were eating people and they got the shakes. That's only the devil, y'all. That's only the devil. They're sacrificing these people. They're giving blood sacrifices to the one true only God in their minds, the Antichrist. But see, all these things come together. Why do they have all those Mason signs on there? Huh? What does those signs have to do with a tavern? What does those signs have to do with the book of Eli? I'm not saying that I put them there, because I didn't put them there. I didn't make the movie. I'm simply pointing it out to you. Why is it there? What significance does it play? Okay? What significance of burning the Bible? Why does the devil want to burn the Bible? You see, let me drop this on y'all. If you burn the Bible, you still don't lose God. But if you burn the Bible and you got faith in the Bible, then you burn God. It's that mentality of symbolism. Remember we talked about that at the beginning of this thing about cynical magic? Because the repetition of them saying the book, the book, the book. They don't call it the Bible. They just call it the book. The book. And that was the most important baby in the Bible. I mean, in the whole movie was the gate. When I said it gave birth to the cross, that's what it did. It gave birth to the cross, saying that Jesus was supreme, right? Men and women were dying because they were trying to find this book. By all means, he knew there was a book out there. He just didn't know who had it. And it was the judge, Eli, who was given the mission from God to travel west so they could have the Bible. Okay? Now, we pointed out the devil wanted to burn the Bible and the cynical magic of the book. But think about this. What do we do when they burn the flag? Oh, Lord, Jesus, say to burn the flag. Listen, a flag is a symbolic representation of America. It is not America. Why are you going to get mad over something like that? Because it is the respect of the nation that they should not burn our flag, right? You will die. And you better be ready. Because they will take the Bible and they will burn it. And then after they take the Bible and burn it, they're going to take you out in the streets and say, do you declare that Satan is the king? They'll give you the mark. Oh, and it's going to be a fancy one too. Remember they got the drones? How's the drones operated? The drones are operated by man, right? Okay. Now, when they go to lock on a target, what do they use? They use satellites. How can they track people? Thousands, millions of people with just a mark. Well, ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you this. There are going to be satellites, or there are going to be some type of tracker that's going to be able to track every human being on this planet unless you decide to be free. Liberty, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And let me tell you, your pursuit of happiness is going to be the pursuit of Christ, because the only happiness you're going to ever get is death. The Bible only tells you it's not going to be a pretty sight. So I am giving you a disclaimer, ladies and gentlemen. I'm telling you, May 21st, 2013, they trick you and tell you that the world don't end. Come on, man, because the Mayans said that ain't not nobody seen a bone of a Mayan. Nobody. Secondly, why is white people determining how to read an ancient language that's been dead for years? And the Mayan people of the Mayan descent can't even read not a lick of it. But white people can. What the hell? Come on now. Let's be for real. Let's get realistic about this. I'm not discrediting any other race. I'm not. But when it comes to the idea that other cultures are inferior to the Anglo-Saxon race, listen, you can't destroy a people, try to come back, rebuild a people, and the people who built it still can't give you the secrets because they dead. And then you're going to try to unlock it? Come on, man. That don't even make no damn sense. So now, I've seen this documentary. I don't know how it's full of BS to me. But the people who have so far have been able to decode or read Mayan are now going back to the Mayan descendants who are living in that region and trying to teach them that language. Now, ain't that some bullshit? Ah, come on. Come on, man. Come on. I get it together, man. We need Jesus. We need Jesus. We need to understand more things on this. See, they give us clues, ladies and gentlemen. They give us clues. They give us clues. They give us clues all the time. It's in our face. This is the funny thing. This is the funny thing. There's two shows about magicians coming out. Two shows about magicians coming out. There's already been two shows about aliens coming and attack and the planet's been destroyed and the people living underground and all that stuff. Two movies in the last 2 months. I mean, in 2013. It's going to come out about it. People, let me tell you, the movie The Host, oh man, I ain't even seen that movie yet, but I tell you this, the movie The Host, why in the world are we going to believe that, this is what they want you to believe, let me make sure I'm saying this right, because I have got to get my facts straight, because you know I don't like giving bad information, but the movie The Host just came out, okay, just came out, the movie The Host, let me see if I can get, okay, and so now they are calling these things souls, I didn't know that, the Seeker, and then they got Seekers, they got the Healer, okay, so, This is the plot of the movie, okay? Lord Jesus. Nobody cares about the spoiler alert. Just tell me it's not. Okay. So, Earth has been invaded by an intelligent alien species known as souls. Although an incredible, peaceful race, souls can only survive by being inserted into a host body, taking control of their minds. In an effort to discover the secrets with whereabouts of some of the last remaining human resistance, the soul wanderer has been inserted into human beings who have captured and attempted to locate her family. Okay, so Lord Jesus, I had to take a breath. Listen, an intelligent alien species known as souls, okay, although an incredible and peaceful race, souls can only survive in being inserted into a body, a host body. Okay, now, and controlling, taking control of their minds. Now, let me ask you this question. What's the difference between this movie and The Exorcist? I'll wait. Listen, there is no difference between this movie and The Exorcist, okay? There's no difference. How can we as human beings accept movies like this? Come on, people. Let's be for real. Come on. An intelligent alien species. You remember when we started talking about aliens, and I know I told y'all, don't laugh at me. I told y'all don't laugh at me. I really did. I told y'all don't laugh at me. Uh-oh. So let me, I found something. Okay. So Lord, there's a lot of information. So I said that aliens are going to come. I don't think we're ready for aliens yet, though. But listen to this. If they can fake wrestling and get millions of people to watch the fake after my generation, nobody should be watching wrestling. Nobody. We know Hulk Hogan is broke up. Ain't no way in hell Hulk Hogan should be watching wrestling. Okay? All right. So, listen. This is what I'm saying. Aliens are going to come. If you ever seen The Fourth Kind, please, if you have not seen that, let me see if I can see The Fourth Kind. Yes. Fourth Kind came out in 2009, right? Now, listen to this one. Okay. So here it is right here. The Fourth Kind, 2009. It says, in 1972, a scale of massive measurements was established for alien encounters. When a UFO is sighted, it is called an encounter of the first kind. When evidence is collected, it is known as encounters of the second kind. When contact is made with extraterrestrial, it is the third kind. The next level of adventation is the fourth kind. Modern day Alaska, where mysterious since the 1960s, disproportionate numbers of populations have been reportedly missing every year. Despite multiple FBI investigations of the region, the truth has never been discovered. Here in this remote region, psychologist Dr. Abigail Tyler began videotaping series of traumatic patients and unwittingly discovered some of the most disturbing evidence of alien abductions ever documented. The Fourth Kind exposes the terrifying revelations of multiple witnesses. This account of being visited by aliens features all sharing disturbingly identifying details. This verifying of which is investigated throughout the film. After the numerous deaths of her beloved husband and in Nome, Alaska, the psychologist Abigail Emily Tyler decided to proceed her research with clients that have insomnia and after seeing a white owl. So when this is used, hypnosis with two clients, they have nervous breakdowns and violent attitudes with their discoverer, but they do not disclose what they have recalled. When Abby finds that she has almost seen the owl, she pushes herself into the edge of a traumatic conclusion. Conscious, excuse me. No difference, y'all. No difference. Now, on this one, they use the Samaritans. If you don't know a lot of this stuff, what I was telling you, first of all, this is why I talk about God. First of all, this is why I talk about the history of the Hebrews. This is why I talk about Babylon a lot. This is why I talk about the occultists. This is why I talk about Solomon Temple. This is why I talk about the Masonic Lodge. This is why I talk about physical magic, because all the stuff is put into our faces and we go and watch this stuff. Okay? We go and watch this stuff. If you have not seen it, please go see this, okay? This rent this movie, because, one, it's a good movie. If you can get past the BS. Two, the people on the front cover, this man is levitating, y'all. Let me tell you this. The only thing that I have known to levitate, ladies and gentlemen, is what? Did I just say the Exorcist? I told y'all, we seen this woman levitate in the Exorcist, right? So, you saying that the alien make this man not only levitate, but break his back? You are kindly mistaken. And if you notice, the same colorism, the same schemes that is used. You remember I was telling you about the cynical magic and how they do the letters? Take the letters out. Okay, they have a one T, two T's. Take one of the T, take the T's out. They have one H, two H. Take the H's out. There's one E. Keep the one E in. There's one F. There's one O. There's one U. There's one R. There's one K. There's one I, and there's one N, and there's one D. So, if you would like to try to help me decode that, that's the cynical magic. But what I'm saying is look at the colorism on that cover, and then you go back to the host cover. Go back to the host cover, and you can find, I'm getting all this off of IMDb. Website. This is where I'm getting. I'm looking at these things, and you can look at it too. Now their eyes are glowing, and they're also, when you look at the host, look at that, huh? The host. Look at that. All right, and they even got that little eye. They got the eye. They're trying to hide the iris and the pupil. They got the pupil out right there, but the iris is right there. So they've got that same color scheme, ladies and gentlemen. Let's not be fooled. Let's not be fooled by what the devil was trying to do. Okay? Let's not be fooled. You can wrap a sheep in sheep clothing, but we know we can smell the wolf. Okay, so this is very important. I will also post this on my link because this is important to know. It says, during the dark, a time when the Bible was banned and burned by the apostate state Christian church, a time when the Bible was banned and burned, many people were unaware of the fact that there were long periods of time when the church of Christendom forbid the reading of the Bible. Not only did she forbid the reading of the Bible, but she also forbid having the possessions of a Bible in one own home. Thus were called Dark Ages, for the obvious reason. The apostate state church of Christendom was a peak of her power and was afraid that if her subjects owned or read Bibles, that they might question some of the church's actions and teachings. During the Dark Ages, AD 500 through 1500, Rome banned Bibles along with their own owners. The Baptist Pillar Canadian Only True Baptist paper. This was a time, this is an article from them, it says, this was a time when not only the church banned, but literally in general was prohibited and frowned upon. Very few people during that time knew how to read or write. Again, the apostate church was determined that the less knowledge that people had, the more easy it would have been to rule them. Only 10% of the people in Rome Empire could read, and those were generally in the wealthy upper class. Now, ladies and gentlemen, doesn't that describe the movie of the Book of Eli exactly? Nobody could read, but two people in that town. Two people. That was Eli who came into town, and Corny who was in the town. Two people. And he was the ruler because he could read. Nobody else could read. I'm going to post this on my website now. Because this is very interesting. Very interesting to know. I am so glad that I found that. And I thank Jesus. And this is another thing that came up. It says, Christendom became an enemy of the Bible. Christendom as a popular, a political power, unfortunately, this ultimately led to the persecution against, as the church quickly became a powerful political force used to control the public opinion and public attributes. Now, we as Americans say that church and state, remember it said church and state, but we're not talking about America. We're talking about worldwide domination. See, the devil needs a leader, which is the Antichrist. He needs an army, which he has in America. He needs a church. Look what the Catholic Church, the Vatican. Once again, for my new listeners, you need to go look this up. There's more than one single city-state, but these city-states are specific. Washington, D.C. sits in the United States of America, but guess what? It is a city-state. Meaning it makes its own laws, own rules, and it has its own codes of justice. Okay? London City, London Square block, where the Queen sits, where the English bank sits, and all in a small little section. That is a city state. They got their own laws, got their own, all that stuff, right? And so is the Vatican. So, once again, this is what I'm saying to you, ladies and gentlemen. They got the United States, which is the armed power. They got London, which is the queen. I mean, come on, Antichrist queen. And they got the World Bank that owns all banks sitting right there. And then you got the church. Then you got the UN who bullies everybody else. That's the combination of all. So it says, and let me get back to this. It says, the Bible continues to be attacked now from within the church. Bibles in common language such as Greek were outlawed. The Latin Vulgate Bible was produced and carefully controlled, readable only by specific trained representatives of the church. Laws were issued, making it illegal for any Christian to possess a Bible. Penalties in burning at the stake during the Dark Ages. Even the priests were unable to read the scriptures for themselves. As a result, they were unable to compare the false doctrine swept through the Roman Church against the doctrine of the Word of God. In Italy, it was still outlawed to own a Bible until 1870. Political arbitrariness led to such crimes as the Crusade War, promoted to be in the name of Christ, but having no relationship with any Christian doctrine. Christianity was primarily an excuse used to give them credibility, since the people had no Bibles to check such things for themselves. They were at the mercy of the corrupt religious leaders behind the effects. Ladies and gentlemen, This is the same Roman Catholic Church that is beloved today. This is the same Roman Catholic Church that allow these grown men to rape, to control, to harm, wound millions, thousands, thousands of millions of billions of people. I don't know what kind of God you serve, but they're not serving my God. They're not. So I say to you, ladies and gentlemen, please visit and relook at how you're viewing things. CeeLo said it the best. Ha ha, you really think you were in control? Ladies and gentlemen, you're not in control. You are not in control. My name is George Beverly. This is Sign Off Forums. Please go visit these things that I'm about to post. Look at them. It's at your relevant. If you want to contact me, just contact me at soundoff97413@gmail.com. You can find me on my Facebook, Sound Off Forums. You can find me at my website, www.signoffforums.com.net.org. Email me if you have any questions. Look at my page, and I thank you. You have a good night. Be blessed. Peace.